We're here tonight, you'll see as you've come in, and I'm sure it's been announced from the pulpit here on the Lord's Day, but we're here, you'll see the little banner over here at the piano, that we're here to represent the work and witness of Let the Bible Speak. I am but one of the half dozen or so LTBS deputation secretaries, and that simply means that we go around the province and we tell you good folk and others like you, I like to refer to you as grassroots supporters of exactly what is happening in the work and witness of LTBS at this time. The format is that I'm going to bring a message from 2 Timothy, I do believe a word that is applicable to each and every one of us today. And then we're going to watch a presentation on the overhead, on the screen behind us, and then we're going to get down to our time of prayer. At least that is my plan. Perhaps the Lord will take it out of our hands this evening and do something slightly different. But that is the format planned for the meeting this evening. I want you to turn with me, therefore, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll want to read some of these words together. And if you're watching along through the broadcast tonight, I would encourage you to open your Bible and to turn to these words as well. We'll pray that the Lord himself might speak to us through his living word. That's what this is. It's not just a book. It is much, much more than that. It is, of course, and we believe that to be true in this denomination, the living word of God. I trust you found the place, 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. And you will read here, I charge thee therefore. Now that's a strange way to start a sentence, a conversation, a chapter, as it is here. Anytime we see the word therefore in Scripture, we ought to ask ourselves the question, as Dr. Douglas always asked, what is the therefore, therefore? Of course, it reminds us and points us to what went before. We'll maybe cast our thoughts back upon the previous verses. Chapter 3, it tells us in verse 1. This is, of course, the Apostle Paul writing his pastoral epistle to his son in the faith. In fact, he makes that very clear as we go down through this book. Many of the epistles are written to churches, such as what you are this evening, but some are written in a most personal way, and we'll take that as it comes this evening in this personal way. Look at what he tells us. He's warning the young Timothy. He warns us, of course, in the second place as well, but in the first instance, he's warning Timothy of what is coming down the line. We're seeing these things even today. This know also, says Paul, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Of course, we see that in our day and generation. Look at verse 14 of that chapter. We're really wanting to consider the next chapter. This is by introduction to the reading, as it were. Look at verse 14. In fact, verse 13 reminds us there that perilous times shall come, verse 1 tells us. Verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Of course, pointing forward to future days. We believe that in many ways we're in times that are descriptive in these verses right now. But then he makes it so personal in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Most familiar words. But let me suggest to you this evening that verse 15 and 16 are familiar words in isolation. Let's consider them in the whole, reading down through into chapter 4. Of course, there were no chapter or verse divisions given in the original. These were added many, many years after the scriptures were given. Of course, they're useful, good for our benefit to be able to find and divide up the scriptures, but it wasn't given that way in the original. Therefore, Let us consider it that way. Verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That word, of course, means what it says, perfect, but it has a much fuller sense than what we would understand it today. It means fitted. It means perfect. It means full. It means complete. Look at it again with those thoughts, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then we come to chapter 4. I charge thee therefore, because of all that, because of what the Bible is, because of what the scriptures are, because of the downward trend that would follow the words of the apostle here as he wrote under inspiration. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the seriousness of that charge. He shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And then I want us to think particularly of verse 2. This is our text this evening. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then he reinforces this same thought in verse 3 here as he did in chapter 3, verse 1. That in the last days perilous times shall come. For the time will come, chapter 4, verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And then in verse 5, he makes it so personal again. There he was talking about those who would wax worse and worse. Those who would depart from the things of God. But in verse 4 and in verse 5, he makes it so personal again. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And of course, he goes on there, verse 7 and so on, marking the fact that this was toward the end of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But what words of instruction he gives us here. And I want you to consider those words verse 2 gives us. Paul's words, almost parting words, not only to Timothy, we do believe they were written in the first place to this individual, but I believe to the church at large. In fact, every one of us this evening. We'll read the words again and then we'll bow for a brief word of prayer. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank thee for thy most precious word this evening. We thank the Lord for these instructions, these jewels that we have here within the scriptures of truth, these inspired commands. And Lord, I pray that thou would be pleased to bless this evening, even as we might consider these words, but for a few moments, as we might consider the work and the witness and the future outreach and the plans of Let the Bible Speak. Lord, I pray that thou would give us the enthusiasm that the Apostle Paul clearly had. The one who was able to stand up and say that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And neither are we. We're not ashamed, or at least we ought not to be, when we see but the prince in his hands. Oh Lord, we ought to give the more for his cause. Lord, bless us now as we consider these words. Bless every individual here. We know that on a warm evening like this, especially with masks on and all the rest of it, how easy it is to lose concentration and to slip away. But Lord, I pray that thou would hone our thoughts this evening upon what thou would have us to see from thy most precious word. In thy holy name we do ask. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I know for a fact that the Reverend Dr. Alan Cairns, the one whom God gave that great burden that turned into a reality all those years ago, way back in 1973, almost 48 years ago, I know for a fact that this man had a burden to do this very thing, to preach the word. In fact, he wasn't merely content, as none of us should be, to keep our religion to the four walls of a church building, to keep our religion and to keep this great commission that is ours merely to a pulpit like this, but rather to allow it to go a much wider afield. Of course, that was the burden of the Reverend Dr. Alan Cairns all those years ago. And he had opportunity way back then to bring the gospel through on a single radio station on the Isle of Man, which he did, of course. That radio station put the word out, but you know, of course, how from the smallest seed grows the greatest oak, grows the greatest plants that you will ever think of. So it has been with the work and the witness of Let the Bible Speak. Even the very terminology, even the very title, Let the Bible Speak, really attests to what the men, and indeed women in those early days, had a vision for this work of Jesus Christ to do. In fact, from those small, from those limited, it was just really one radio station that didn't even cover the whole of the island, I'm sure, away back then in the Isle of Man. But from those small, from those most humble of beginnings, many, many thousands of individuals, in fact, we could go much further than that and say millions of individuals worldwide have been, are being, we pray in the will of God, will be in the days that lie ahead reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is the good news that Christ came and died for the ungodly. What a message we have. What a message Dr. Alan Cairns had back then. What a message the Church of Jesus Christ has today. And we should never be content to merely keep that word to ourselves, but rather we should get involved in this vision, involved in works and in ministries and in witnesses, such as Let the Bible Speak, to be able to get the word of God into as many people's heads, into their homes, into their hearts, as it's possible to do. I was just reading over the very words of the hymn that we had picked it on Sunday, I suppose, at some stage, and sent it through to your minister to get it up on the overhead tonight. But what lovely words we have there. Look at verse 2. In fact, you'll not be able to look at them unless you've got a hymn book. Hymn number 513, verse 2 says this: in the quiet home life, showing love's bright ray. Oh, I can see something out of the corner of my eye here. Look at those words, in the quiet home life. Maybe you're thinking tonight, there's nothing that I can really do for LTBS. There's nothing better than you can do than to pray for that work. You pray that those messages as they go forth, you pray for that free literature as it goes out from the retail outlet up in Banbridge. You pray that the Lord might bless, take those things, even standing at your kitchen sink, even sitting behind the wheel of the van or the car or the bus, as it is in my case, we can pray that work forward. How is it with every business in the world, we talk about that business, been on their knees, that means that they're on their way out. That means they're weak. The opposite is the case with the Church of Jesus Christ. It is only whenever we are on our knees as a church, as whenever we're taking ground and going forward. In fact, verse 3, maybe we'll have it here in a wee second as well. Look at that. Out upon the highway. You know, there's places that we'd love to get the gospel message in. The message still goes forth on CDs, on radio broadcasts, especially now with DAB radio and all the rest of it. The radio messages can go beamed right into the very homes, into the hearts, into the cabs of individuals. You'll see in the video a little bit later on about those 5 13-minute DVD or recordings that go across at 1 o'clock in the morning. You might think an unusual time. That's in London. 1 o'clock in the morning in London, that those broadcasts go out. But there's great response. In fact, the feedback from every avenue of service from LTBS is so encouraging. There's feedback coming in to the Reverend Pat Baker over there in London. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag just yet. You'll be able to see in the video a little bit later of how he reads from those very letters from which he receives. There's great feedback from the shop there in Banbridge. There's individuals who are coming in and waiting to speak to Mrs. Patterson, whoever's there, about the things of God. You know, every time I watch this video, and I've watched it, I suppose, scores of times now, you pick up something new. You maybe look out for some of these things. You look out for the giant print, I think is the words Mrs. Patterson uses, not just large print, but giant print, Bible in the front window, and the council workers walking up and down past. And if those pages aren't turned onto fresh pages that they haven't read, they're knocking the window, motioning to turn the page. Such is the hunger, even in our own land, for the things of God. The Lord is moving. The Lord is blessing. And even though this work started off almost 48 years ago, way back before some of you were born, well, before I was born anyway, way back in 1973, the Lord is blessing and allowing that work to go forward. Even now, even after Dr. Alan Kearns has been called on to higher service, brought into his reward, this work that was founded under God by this man of God, this ministry is going forth. And it was started off with that central, with that main aim, and it has not changed. It started off with that main aim, and it will not change, and that is to simply let the Bible speak. I love the title of the organization that I'm here to represent. And that's why I believe the Lord has laid these words upon my heart. These are the words that were preached at my installation and ordination, 6 years ago or so. Preach the word. Very often we do. We think of those words. We take them and we apply them to the man in the pulpit. We apply them to an individual. But I put it to you this evening that this is something that every one of us can have a part in. Look at the words again of verse 2. Look at this command that we, I believe, are given. This is Paul as he's just about to finish his ministry, his life's work. Look at what it tells us, actually, in verse 6 and 7. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought, it's all past tense, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept, again, past tense, I have kept the faith, and he's therefore handing this baton, as it were, onto the up-and-coming generation. Let this be an encouragement even to the young people who are either watching in or here in the flesh. There's something that every one of us can do. I think we've highlighted that already. We can pray for the work by your prayers, by your pennies, by your donations to the shop. Maybe you think there's nothing practically you can do. One of the things that Mrs. Patterson needs is help in that shop to sort things out and all the rest of it that goes with it. You can give of your time. You can give of your tithe. You can give of your prayers that this work might go forward. You think of this charge that we're given here. You think of the fact that every one of us who are blood-bought children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing about what the Lord has done for us, but we also have opportunity and something that we can do. I remember, it just comes into my mind now, so it mightn't just be 100% right, but I remember in first or second year in college reading a book, a missionary book, and I would love to get my hands on this book, regarding the life story, the biography of an individual from Canada, I think he was, who went to China at God's bidding, called Jonathan Goforth. Isn't that a care name for a missionary? And I remember in one of those early chapters, I'm speaking of his call. And he had in his mind that he would go back to Canada and remain there and preach and minister in Canada. But he went to a missionary meeting, maybe something like this. And he said, in his own words, about how he was at that meeting and how he was challenged by the message about the appeal as it went forth to minister for the Lord in some far-flung place. And he said this, these are the words that struck in my mind, and I hope they're right. He said, "There was I, bought with the precious blood of Christ, daring to do with my life as I pleased." Even as I quote those words, they mightn't be just 100% according to the book. It's maybe 6 years since I read that book. Oh, it's far more. It's nearly 10 years. The shivers go up my spine. "There was I, bought with the precious blood of Christ, daring to do with my life as I pleased." He actually went on after that and he said, "From that moment on, I became a foreign missionary." He didn't go to the mission field for years, but he was sold out for God. He eagerly read everything he could and studied up on the mission field and the places he was intending to go. And maybe you, and maybe me, I point the finger at myself before I point it at any others. Maybe we are closing our mind to what we can or cannot do. I think it was Henry Ford that said, "Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right." Maybe there's something you can do for the work and witness of LTBS. Maybe there's things that are lying. Let me tell you this. Many of us are guilty of hoarding books and Bibles and things. We don't want to give that one out for sentimental reasons. We don't want to, and we'll never throw a Bible out. I'll never throw a Bible out. But one of the things that they are looking for in the shop is good quality second-hand copies of God's Word. In fact, I said to Mr. Patterson recently, a few weeks ago, that I would often say in deputations like this that why not use the LTBS shop something like a library where you can go on and buy a book for a couple of pounds, take it home, take as long as you want to read that book, and whenever you finish with it, put it back into the shop again. Why not do something for the Lord? Something that you might think is a small thing, because I believe this is something that every one of us can do. You think about the power. Think of the title again. Let the Bible speak. You think about the power of this book, the Word of God, the Scriptures. In fact, think about Paul himself. Paul was one who was fiercely opposed to the church, fiercely opposed to the work of Jesus Christ, until the Lord stopped him and arrested him on that occasion. The Word of Christ turned him around on his tracks. And that's what we're finding. Think of the work of Nepal. Think of that work across that massive Kathmandu area. And of course, you'll have them here with me. I have one here. You've been in receipt of these for a number of weeks now, I'm sure. I've been assured. Maybe you can't read it from the back. I couldn't either. Don't worry, I'll read it out for you. It says simply this. Radio, or Nepal Radio Appeal. There are 20 radio stations in Nepal. The Reverend Paul Thapa is laboring tirelessly, recording messages, putting those messages out across 20 radio stations. But there is opposition to that. In fact, let me say, put it this way, there's an increasing and a growing opposition to the gospel as it goes forth. In fact, the Lord, just as he put a burden within the Reverend Dr. Alan Cairns all those years ago, the Lord has put a burden upon the Reverend Paul Thapa's heart as well to establish our own LTBS radio station. In fact, the committee, and I can speak about the committee because I'm not on the committee, I can talk about how eager and enthusiastic and about how energetic they are in allowing the Word to go forth. Because they are. They labor tirelessly. We've had the privilege I've been able to sit in just a couple of the committee meetings, and we see the energy within those meetings. And it has been a burden within the committee, as well as the Reverend Paul Thapa, to raise a sum of money to allow that vision to become a reality. The target has been set for £30,000. And God's people at the grassroots, such as what you are right now, are great at responding to this appeal. We haven't quite reached the target yet, but the money is coming in, and I'm not here to beg for money tonight. I'm here simply to put forth the need to each and every one of you. And as I speak to you, I speak to my own heart as well. And this is something that every one of us can have a part in, to allow the Word of God to go forth into people's homes. I love that verse. In fact, I didn't know whether to preach it or to preach this verse, to preach the word, or that other verse that you know so well in Hebrews 4, verse 12. Speaks about the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word is alive. It's able to do in a man's soul, in a woman's soul, in a young person's life and heart that no word of man, merely man, can do. The work of Let the Bible Speak beams that word in all those formats, the radio format and the internet and television and all these formats, into people's homes, to where they are. The very verse that we had on the screen a moment ago speaks about driving in the van even, about out on the highway. What a charge that every one of us can have a part of this evening. But there's something else that I want to see here as well. Not only the charge, look at the verse. Look at what it tells us there in verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. What does that speak to us about? That speaks to us about the timing of this charge. Preach the word. Yes, we're to do that. But when are we to do it? That's the question. I referred to the Reverend Pat Baker earlier on. The word goes out at 1 o'clock in the morning, yet there are people listening to it. We might think that is an inopportune moment, but it's a time very often when hearts are settled, when houses are quiet, when people have time to think. And certainly that has been the experience of the Reverend Baker over there in London. The timing of this word, be instant, in season, out of season. I speak to myself here as well as everybody else, because by nature, every single one of us are procrastinators. What does that mean? It means we often put off to tomorrow that which we should do today. Right now, somewhere in the world, the work and witness of LTBS is going forth. There's a magazine sitting somewhere. There's gospel outreach and material like that. There's people who come into the shop in Bonbridge and get free gospel material to take down south. Think of this, to leave in their own chapel. Imagine that. People walking into a chapel, converted Roman Catholics are coming up, taking that material, leaving it there in an opportune spot within the very chapel. People are coming in and lifting that material, taking it away and reading it, and souls are being saved. You see, we're all procrastinators. We want to put off to some other occasion to that which we should be doing right now. This work, this witness is going forth right now. What does the Word of God? I want you to turn to a passage. I've been easy on you. You haven't had to turn to a lot of places. You can do this if you're at home as well. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's something here that jumped out at me as I studied and thought about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. We often, and I've done this, and no doubt I'll do this in future days, we often take this and we apply it to the unsaved. We use it in the gospel. We apply it to the person that's putting off coming to Christ. And there is a place for that. Verse 2. In fact, you know the words well. He has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That, the end of that verse is the sort of a verse you'll put on a tree for passers-by to read. Not to procrastinate. Sinner, don't procrastinate. But who's this written to? We'll read from the very start of that chapter. Now, remember who it is that's writing. Remember the context. It's important. Paul, the apostle, again, the one who penned some 14 books of the New Testament under God. This was one of them, the second book, as he wrote to the church at Corinth. We then, who's he writing to? A church. We then, he's speaking to the believer, the Christian. And if that's not clear, look at the next words. We then, as workers together with him, beseech ye also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Remember the emphasis here at the beginning of this sixth chapter. This instruction was written to the child of God. In fact, we can make it even narrower than that. Bring it right down in. Focus right down in, because it's not only written to the child of God. It's written to the Christian worker. It's written to you. It's written to me. It's written to the type of person who comes along to mourn Free Presbyterian Church prayer meeting on a Tuesday night. It's written to us. Now that's the context. Now look at verse 2. For he has said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Writing to the church, remember? Now is the day of salvation. Let me put it to you like this, and that's why I read those verses that speak about the last days, about perilous times coming, about the symptoms of the last age. In fact, you read it there in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 3. In fact, into chapter 5, or verse 4, or 4 and 5, and it gives us a list of things there. Lovers of their own selves, are we not like that today? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unthankful, without natural affection, so on. That list goes on, and we see it in those around us today. The last days will come. The last days are here. The time will come, verse 3 of chapter 4, the time will come, the days are here. And yet there is still a hunger and a desire. I mentioned earlier on those workers who have that desire to read those two leaves of the giant print Bible that's on the window, that's on display in the window. You see, we need to take every opportunity, and we need to take the opportunity right now. Yes, we need to take tomorrow's opportunity, but we need to take now's opportunity before we even get to tomorrow. Oh yes, there's the timing. But there's something else here as well in verse 2 of our text. Chapter 4, verse 2. The charge, the timing, and the means. Look at the end of the verse. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And then the last half of that verse, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we are to use, as the program director, Mr. Curran, puts it in the video, every legitimate means to get the word and the message out there. Because 99% of people will not step. I just thought of this as I pulled into the car park earlier. In fact, the last time I was here preaching, I work with bus drivers from all over, both sections of the community, great men. Some great men and some great women work with escorts and with bus drivers and with classroom assistants and teachers and all the rest of it. And any time I'm preaching local, I will always ask them to come in. And they'll be able to tell me all about the church that I'm asking them to, because it's local to them. They'll be able to tell me of family and friends who go to that church, and they'll be able to tell me the history of that church. But one thing they'll not do is ever come to that church. Yet, they have yet to come to anywhere I've preached. But what I found, in fact, the last time I was preaching here, the next morning, Monday morning, I was getting off my bus. And there's a lovely man who was driving the bus beside me. And even before I got off my bus, he was shouting across at me, I heard you preaching yesterday down in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church. Now, this is a man from Twinbrook, where people will never step foot in a church building. They will watch. They will listen. They will perhaps set foot in a retail outlet, a shop in Bonbridge. And we're finding that. In fact, somebody, a local, said to Mrs. Patterson, and she can vouch for that, she's here, you're a ray of sunshine, or something like that. You're a ray of sunshine in the area. And in fact, I have the quote here. It's in the thing. There it is. A light in a dark place. Now, if I'm wrong, you can tell me afterwards. A light in a dark place. Imagine that. There are people who will sit down and watch something. They will listen to a word. They will get the challenge. The Lord is blessing and using these means. In fact, think of all these means, the radio ministry, the television ministry, the outreach from the shop on Bonbridge, the quarterly magazine, the website, and you'll see the website on the screen just a little bit later. In fact, down at the right-hand side, you'll see a little tab, and it'll be highlighted on the screen. A little tab, you can click that. It'll open up into a bigger banner. You can fill in your details there. Now, there'll be nothing invasive. You'll just merely get an email every morning. I get mine about 2 or 3 minutes past 8. A daily devotional for the day. You can keep in touch with the work through the website. even the very meeting here tonight. Somebody will ask you tomorrow, what did you do last night? Were you out for a walk? Were you on the beach? I saw so many as I was coming down through from Newcastle direction. You can use the very meeting tonight. No, actually, I was at a meeting last night. We're at a presentation presenting the work of LTBS. What does that mean? What does that stand for? There's an opening. There's an opportunity. There's something that every one of us can do. No matter what you're doing tomorrow, no matter who you see, even if you're at home all day tomorrow, you pray that the Lord will let you cross the path of just one individual, that you might be able to spread the gospel message. Because this, I believe, this work of LTBS is something that every blood-bought child of God, remember Jonathan Goforth's words, there was I, bought with the precious blood of Christ, daring to do with my life as I pleased. May we be consecrated to do what we can for him. And may the Lord bless us in those efforts. Now, I've left some of these. That's just a little bit of information regarding what's happening with LTBS. There's different times that the shops opened and closed. On the front of it, it tells you something of the radio broadcast and the television broadcast schedule. And on the inside, there's the latest up-to-date happenings with what's happening with LTBS. You take one of these. I think I printed 40 of these to come tonight. There's enough for everybody here. You take these. You use that as a prayer list. And you pray that the Lord might bless in these things. Remember, I'm not going to beg tonight for money. I don't want to do that. But you remember the Nepal radio appeal. In fact, there's a lot of facts and figures given in the video. I have them written out here. And I've got my calculator out and I worked them all out. £84,500 annually for those regular bills that will be mentioned there in the video. But we're going to, without any further ado, we're going to allow you to watch the video and we trust the Lord will bless. And then after that, we'll get down to a time of prayer. And if there's any questions, I love questions. Very often I'm not able to answer all the questions, but certainly do feel free. Well, there's no rush away tonight. You can ask all the questions you like because there's somebody more qualified than me to answer them here as well. So we'll have the video now, please, and we'll pray the Lord might bless it to our hearts.